BC Premier David Eby is defending the proposed expansion of the LNG Canada facility in Kitimat after Grand Chief Stuart Phillip and other opponents raised concerns about Indigenous rights, public health, and climate impacts. Eby's comments follow the announcement by Prime Minister Mark Carney that LNG Canada Phase 2 is one of five projects selected under the federal government's newly launched Major Projects Office, MPO, fast-track list. The MPO, introduced in late August, is designed to accelerate regulatory approvals and financing coordination for large-scale infrastructure deemed nation-building under the Building Canada Act. This is a profoundly important project, and I understand why the Prime Minister put it on the list. It's significant for Canadians at a time when our major trading partner is attacking us, Eby said, referring to unpredictable U.S. tariffs. The Premier was responding to criticism from Phillip, President of the Union of BC Indian Chiefs, UBCIC, who has characterized LNG Canada as a divisive and destructive project that has caused harm to Indigenous communities and the environment. He said many Indigenous leaders in the province oppose the expansion, which has yet to reach a final investment decision from LNG Canada's partners. Eby acknowledged that Indigenous perspectives on LNG development are divided. "This is obviously a complicated topic," he said. "There are Indigenous communities, yes, that are against it, but also many who are supporters and proponents themselves." The Haisla Nation, whose unceded territory includes the LNG Canada site, is a vocal supporter of the project and a majority owner of Haisha Marine, which will provide hybrid and electric tugboat services to LNG tankers. Its own Cedar LNG project also depends on some shared infrastructure with LNG Canada, including the Coastal GasLink pipeline, which supplies both projects. "For us as a government, this is a project that reflects tens of billions of dollars of investment in BC. It reflects the opportunity for thousands of jobs and increased revenues for the provincial government at a time when it's desperately needed," Eby said. He emphasized that BC-regulated LNG will be the lowest carbon LNG in the world, and is expected to replace higher emissions LNG from other countries. "It would be terrible to see an LNG plant built in Alaska with much lower standards and not be able to displace that high-carbon gas on the global market with BC's own," he said. Eby also pointed to the completed pipeline infrastructure as a reason to proceed, suggesting further disruption to the environment and communities could be avoided. "There is a critical value that I share with the Grand Chief, which is that we need to ensure we're addressing climate change. Climate change is a real thing, and there are jurisdictions like Japan and Korea that want to buy low-carbon BC gas because they have their own climate commitments." However, the UBCIC said the federal designation disregards Indigenous rights and the lack of free, prior and informed consent, FPIC. "True nation building requires working with us, not against us," said Phillip. "We reject any process that tramples our inherent and constitutionally protected title and rights, ignores free, prior and informed consent, and sacrifices the climate for foreign corporate profits." LNG Canada, for its part, has long celebrated the Phase 1 project as a legacy of First Nations cooperation and dialogue, and that it remains committed to including affected Indigenous communities in all aspects of its operations, including a Phase 2. "We are encouraged that both our provincial and federal governments have emphasized the need to identify opportunities to increase and enhance infrastructure and capacities, and we will continue to work collaboratively with governments, First Nations and local communities to develop these opportunities," a company spokesperson said in response to the federal announcement. Meanwhile, concern from the medical community has added to the pressure. On September 8, several doctors and First Nations members gathered at press conferences in Vancouver and Smithers to raise concerns about the health impacts of LNG and fracking, particularly in northern communities. Speakers pointed to risks tied to the Prince Rupert gas transmission pipeline and the proposed Kasi-Leesums LNG terminal. An open letter from the group cited reviews of recent studies suggesting potential links between fracking and increased risks of birth defects, childhood leukemia, asthma, heart disease, and premature death.